Harvest Messages are brought to you by Harvest Partners. To receive free email daily devotions or to become a Harvest Partner, please visit us online at harvest.org.
Good morning, ladies. I hope you're all awake by now, right? I have to tell you that I'm not a morning person. But this morning is very different, because the Lord energizes my soul and my heart by seeing so many of you come today this morning for one reason: to fellowship together and give praise to our Lord and Father. What an honor. I'm so delighted to be with you and call this church my home church. And I'm so grateful for our leaders, beautiful women of God, who faithfully and continually teach us from the most beautiful book in the entire world, the Bible. And while I was preparing for this speech today, I found my first Bible. And at the time, Bible was not allowed in my country. It was forbidden. And for this book, people suffered, including my family and my father. And as I opened my Bible, in my Bible, I was afraid to mark or write, but I had a few through the Bible. And it opens up in Luke chapter 6, where Jesus is talking about the blessedness of being persecuted for his sake. Isn't that beautiful? The whole page is not marked, but that passage here, Luke 6:22. I absolutely love our koinonia times, don't you? Oh, wow, it's a wonderful time of sharing what God has done in each of our lives individually, and we praise him for this. I'm so happy that my, actually, husband is here with us today. He said, no matter what, I'm coming to support you. So I just want to welcome my husband. He's right there, Dennis. Thank you, honey. He said, I live in a free country, so I can do whatever I want. Let me tell you that 16 years ago, my husband and I and all my family, we came to the United States. At that time, we were newlyweds. And we had about $600 in our pockets. But no matter how little we had on us to start a new life here, I knew we brought with us a timeless treasure, and that is the strong faith and uncompromised living of my grandparents and my parents that is far greater than any earthly treasures. That treasure I carry as my heritage, as I call a spiritual lineage, if you will. When I heard that we will be studying the book of Acts this year, I thought to myself, I'm so excited because this book has so much significance to me personally and to those who were persecuted, because it gave us boldness as much as to the apostles. And this just last week, we studied chapter 4, where we see the persecution unfold and how apostle and the first church faced the persecution, how they reacted to that, and how they dealt with it. And specifically in verses 17 and 18, we read the following. Then they, meaning Sanhedrin, called them in and commanded them not to speak or teach at all in the name of Jesus. But Peter and John replied, which is right in God's eyes, to listen to you or to him? So despite the threats, the Holy Spirit enabled them to be bold in their preaching of Jesus as the only way to God. Sometimes it's hard for us to relate to people that lived 2,000 years ago. But ever since First Church, as Kathy mentioned, we know that persecution has been a part of church history and until today. And as we speak here today, We know that Pastor Saeed is in prison, in that Iranian prison, cruel prison. And my heart goes to him and his wife and his children, because I know how it feels like and what they're going through. While we enjoy freedoms in this country and worshiping in public, it's not the case with many countries. According to the State Department, Christians in more than 60 countries today face persecution from their government simply because they believe in Jesus. I believe every generation has its own hero of faith that we can all relate to. And I consider my father, Joseph Bondarenko, one of them. Not long ago, my father, as a young man and a Christian leader, came face to face with persecution and opposition, and like Peter and John, was imprisoned by the government and spent 10 years in cruel prisons in the former Soviet Union for his faith and boldness in preaching the truth. Atheists demanded from my dad to denounce his faith and stop preaching, stop evangelizing, or just simply keep it to himself. And while others were too afraid to speak up, my dad did. And he became nationally recognized leader for the Christian church in the former Soviet Union. He mobilized believers to stand up, not to be afraid, and stand up for the truth. And do not compromise their faith. This was a defining moment in his life and in the church history of my country, where my father and many believers had to put God first, put God above the authority of an oppressive government. And with Apostle Peter, they said, "We must obey God rather than man." As you all know, 70 years in our country was a difficult period of time, and it was run by dictators that rejected God, but they embraced Darwinian theory and communist ideal. And anybody who dared to go against their agenda was harshly persecuted, and especially the leaders, the pastors, evangelists, and their families. And because of that, church operated in secret. And sometimes homes of the believers were a place of worship or forests when they get together and praise God there. And you know what? When we got together and praised God in forests, it was true koinonia. And it was the only time we could be free, being along with God and nature. In my country, Christians were demonized and they were portrayed as uneducated and second-class citizens. And despite this propaganda, the Christian church grew stronger and stronger, and the unity of believers and their love and their commitment was unparalleled. I praise God for that. In such a time, I was born. And I'm so grateful for the Lord for allowing me to be born in a country with severe religious persecution, to be born into a Christian home with both parents so strongly rooted in the Lord, most loving and caring, and that honor God and fearlessly proclaim the truth and followed his commands. Yet, the atheistic government and communists labeled my dad as a criminal. They labeled him as the enemy of the communist state. And with such a status, a certain lifestyle followed for us as his kids. As Katie Thad said, I have 5 siblings, and I am second from the top. My parents gave me name Vera, And some of you already know that, but if literally translated from the Russian language, it means faith. And the reason I was given this name is that at the time that I was born, my family and my father especially was so persecuted and was chased by the police, he was in hiding. And when my mom gave birth to me, I was born prematurely, and KGB followed my mom to the hospital. And doctors told my mom, either she or I will die. Some of us will not make it. They took me away from my mom, and for 3 days, she didn't know anything about my status. Just imagine that cruelty for a woman who gave birth to a child. And without any support, she was left there alone, but with the Bible. And every single day of all of these 3 days, she read through the scripture and said, "Vera, I never came across so many passages talking about faith. God was just putting those verses for me." And she believed and she prayed. My father prayed for me, but he could not come and see my mom. So 3 days passed, and then 4 more, and my mom carried me home, all well and sound, both of us. And she gave me this name, Faith, because she believed that God was able to protect me, protect her, even when people wanted to harm us. And I praise God that she gave me this beautiful name, because only God knew how much faith I would need in my own life to endure struggles through temptations and tribulations. And I'm so grateful for it. At a very young age, we knew that we were born into a very different family, very different from our peers. And since childhood, we met hostility and rejection of society because of our Christian upbringing, because we loved Jesus. We had to grow up fast and be prepared, because life was not easy for us. And I'm so grateful that our parents took time to invest in us and teach us at home how we should live. So when we go out to society and experiencing all the mockery and laughs and disrespect, we would know how to react. In our family, we never knew what each day would bring. We actually lived day by day. And therefore, looking back into the Acts of the Apostles and this wonderful book, we were encouraged by them. We knew that these Christians were persecuted, and that's why we had to endure persecution. This book of Acts came alive in our own lives. It was just speaking volumes into our hearts and encouraged us to be bold and stand for Christ. We had to trust our God alone, because there was nobody to turn to. Our home was under constant surveillance from the KGB. My parents were watched and followed every single day. Police would come and search our house at any given moment, day or night. We had to be ready, because the Bible was forbidden, and if found in our home was enough to put my dad in jail. At that time, when police would come and turn everything upside down in our home, we felt so unprotected. We had no privacy. We had no protection at all, and there were nowhere to turn but to Christ alone, who knew how we felt then. And it was so hard to see those people going through everything we had in our house. And we just pray that God would give us strength, that God would give us wisdom what to say if we were asked to. And you know what? It's just so wonderful that through all of these times, when police would harass us, when they would wake up us at night and just would do whatever they wanted to do, we didn't see any resentment in our parents' hearts. We just saw that spirit of forgiveness towards those who persecuted them. And we wanted to be like our parents. It wasn't easy for us kids to understand why certain things happened a certain way. But God was providing that support from our parents. Going to school was not easy at all. We would be mocked and we would be put in front of class. And they would just say, these are fanatics. They believe in God that doesn't even exist. And they would take time to threaten us and tell us that we don't deserve a rightful place in our society because of our Christian upbringing, because we believe something the whole country did not believe. And at those moments, although sometimes we didn't understand, but we knew the presence of God was with us. I remember I was almost 8 years old when my dad was imprisoned. And it was hard because I had to start going to school and everything that I had to meet there. I found this card that my dad wrote to me congratulating me on my first day of school. I went to school without my dad, but I'm glad that my mom was there. And he would write to me that I wish you a bright childhood, that you be obedient to your mom, that you'd be a healthy girl and would have good success in studies, be a great example to other people. I treasure this card because our letters and cards were the means of communication with our dad. When our dad was imprisoned, he was imprisoned in Russia, in Krasnodar, and we were not let into his trial. And I remember how we stood by that courtroom crying and asking those big guys, let us in. We want to see. We want to have a glimpse of our dad. Why wouldn't you allow us to? But they wanted my dad to suffer even more because he knew he would not see us for another 3 years. And then we came home, and I remember, like my sister and I, how we cried through the night, and we could not understand how a loving father was considered to be a criminal, a convict. How humanly possible that he was taken away from us. And even at school, our teachers would threaten and say, we will take away you from your parents into an orphanage. And this common practice took place within the Christian community. And when I was called to the principal's office shortly after we returned home, this guy, he was so big, and his assistant was there. And I was called to his office in the middle of class. Imagine that. It was shameful for me because only those who were troublemakers were called to the principal's office in the middle of the class. And I was sitting there, an 8 or a 9-year-old girl, and I just listened to him, how he spoke about my parents, how they were uneducated, how they didn't know better. And I looked at him and I thought to myself, how on earth? I know better. I live with them. I go every day. And I live with them and I know who they are. I know their passions. I know their hearts. But they had a different opinion and they wanted us to turn our backs on our parents. They wanted us to say no to God. And at that moment, I knew only God could have given me strength to say no. Only God could have sustained me. And I realized what a child's faith, how strong it is, because God is able to do something impossible for us. I'm so grateful for his protection through the years that my father and our family experienced. While in prison, my father writes in his book that one day he was led to work, and because he was a dangerous criminal, he had rough labor on his file. So it meant that every dangerous job had to be taken by him. And when he worked, his type of work was beveling iron sheets. And he worked with the machine, and the pieces of iron, you know, were, the iron sheets were cut into pieces, and the pieces of or chips of iron were flying throughout the place, and there was no much protection for him. And it burned his face and his eyes and his body. And then it happened that one of these red-hot chips flew into his eye. And he got a huge trauma to his eye, and he screamed from ferocious pain, but he cried out for help. Nobody listened. But as soon as Christians knew what had happened, well, he had to be taken immediately to the hospital, but it was not the case with my dad because they kept him isolated. But by the time he went, ophthalmologist said he would lose his eye. And when the news spread among the Christian community, and believe me, it was prior to Instagram and Facebook, but Christians were praying so fervently, and he received several letters from some of them that were willing to donate their eyes, literally, for my dad, should he needed it, so that the ministry that God has given him would be spread out. I just saw that love of believers and the sacrifice they made for each other, and it brought the church together, and the church grew despite all the opposition. I so admire of my mother, because oftentimes we think about persecution that is all about men and godly men, but my mother stood by my dad. She had to be strong for my dad, strong for my family, and strong for us. And when we would oppressed and mocked and laughed at school, we would run home, and we would always be embraced by her. She would find a word of wisdom, and she would point our eyes to Jesus, because Jesus was hated first. He was hated among his own, and he suffered willingly. And we realize that the scripture says in the Matthew chapter 5 that there is a blessing in suffering. And I'm so grateful that the Lord, through all of these instances of our life, shaped my Christian character, because I and my siblings had to make a choice in our lives, whether we choose worldly opportunities or we simply stay true to Christ. I don't have much time to tell you more, but I want to wrap up saying, despite the consequences we face for the faith we held, watching my mom and dad and the lives they lived made me want to follow Jesus. Made me want to live like they lived, because God empowered them. I want to praise God and not my family, not my dad, because only he was able to do something through him much greater than he himself. Only the power of God that came upon him gave him boldness. At a time, we as a family had one dream: to go together to church. And today, it sounds so insignificant. We freely worship, so what's big deal of it? But for us, then, was just a dream. And today, God made this dream come true. If someone told me when I was a girl growing up in the Soviet Union that I would be one day standing before and speaking to audiences in this country, I would have thought they're out of their minds, literally. The reason is the KGB, and at some point in time my dad was on their wanted list, the KGB promised my father that he will never come out of prison alive, that his children will never see a good life, that his children will never get a good education, and his children will never travel the world. And today, by the grace of God, against all the prognosis of the KGB that were so strong in our country and still is, God made a miracle. Their prognosis didn't pass, didn't come to pass. Not only my father did came out of prison alive. We are seeing a good life. We've got our education and we travel the world. And today we are living in a free country and we're proud to call ourselves Americans. Isn't God good? Amen. He does make miracles, and he is not an ordinary God. He is God of miracles, and that's why we love him so much, because he's able to turn everything for our good. And maybe you have a question, so how is it relevant to me today? I'm living in a free country, but you know what? We don't know how our tables will turn and how we would have to stand up for Jesus. But Jesus wants us to be faithful in little things, and then he will entrust us with more. So let us get ready. Let us love him so much that when we meet opposition, and every Christian will, maybe not every Christian will experience that physical persecution, but every believer in Jesus Christ will meet sometime in their life an opposition from family, friends, school, workers, you name it. And we have to get ready to stand up for Christ, but we have to do it in little things so we can do it when times, tough time comes upon us. Teach your children and live out your faith so they know that God is great despite everything that comes your path. God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our stronghold. Let the Lord be your stronghold in every circumstance of life, because he loves you, he cares for you, and his grace is sufficient. And he is the God of miracles. Amen.